turkey, ham, corn, green beans, cold vegetable salad, asparagus casserole, rolls, mashed potatoes, jello salad, sweet potato casserole, gravy, cornbread dressing, cake, cookies, pie. That's 13 items. And I think there were a couple as I jotted what we had for Thanksgiving, as I jotted that down, I think I left out a couple of things. I had a conversation with Chad St. Clair this morning, and he talked about when they were in a different city and had the opportunity to invite a family that was new to America from the country of Kenya to their Thanksgiving dinner. And he said they were absolutely astounded at the amount of food that was on that table as they ate their Thanksgiving dinner. What does it mean to be grateful? How do you give thanks? I looked up the definition of thankful, and this is what I got. Pleased, glad, relieved. I'm pleased I have more than enough food to eat. I'm happy I have more than enough food to eat. I'm pleased, happy, relieved, but there's a difference in saying that and saying I'm thankful for what I have. It's another thing to be thankful, and it's also another thing to give thanks. Colossians 3:15 says that we are to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in every circumstance, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So when we give thanks, we're not just being happy that we have something or being great or being relieved that we have something, but gratitude by its very nature is directed toward an object that has done something to bless us. It's kind of like somebody doing you a favor or blessing your life in some way and you being happy about what they've done for you. But it's quite another thing to express that gratitude to them in some way. If you write a note, send them a thank you note, that's not just being grateful, that's giving thanks. And that's the idea that you find in Psalm 71 from our reading this morning. And even though this man who is on in years, and he talks about being in the situation of being old and gray, he recognizes that God is that source of every good and perfect gift. Let's begin reading with verse 1. In you, O Lord, I've taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I've become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old, and do not forsake me when my strength is gone. I don't know what this man was facing, but it doesn't sound good if you read the entire psalm. He was facing challenges and difficulties and attacks from his enemies, whoever they were. And yet, you read this psalm and you get the clear sense that this man, who's way on up in years, don't know how old he was still secure. There are several reasons he was able to be this way and have these feelings. And one is that he remembered. He remembered. You have been my hope since my youth. Nick pointing out this morning as we took the Lord's Supper, this focus on the Lord's Supper is, first of all, what's been done in the past. Of course, it has a meaning right now where we are, but the reason we take the Lord's Supper is to remember what God has done for us. And so he remembered, even though he's going through some difficult times, he remembers that God has been with him, that God is a God where he can always go. You have been my hope, and from birth I have relied on you. You get that? From birth I've relied on you. In other words, he knew, in being grateful for what he had, he knew that he wanted to consider, and it was important for him to consider himself not entitled, but blessed. You want to be thankful? You want to give thanks? Consider yourself blessed instead of being entitled. Dovetailing again on what Nick said during the Lord's Supper, are we worthy? Are you worthy? Are you worthy? How would you answer that? Yes and no. Yes and no. You are worth it. You're worth it. God's grand, incomprehensible plan to create us, human beings created in his image, to live in fellowship with him forever and ever and ever. Doesn't mean you're entitled. Your life is a gift. You're not entitled to it. But God has chosen in his will to create a people whom he could love and bless and give to. And of course, we messed it up. Always have from the very beginning. Are you worth it, though? Yeah, you're worth it. You are treasured and loved by him, even though you don't deserve that forgiveness and that mercy and that love. You're worth it, but you're not worthy. You're not entitled. I'm not entitled. God doesn't owe you or me anything, but in his love, he has chosen to bind himself to you and me because of his passionate love for us. How to be grateful? How to give thanks? Remember, consider yourself blessed and not entitled. And I would include as a follow-up, kind of a natural flow from that would be to ask and don't demand. So he's going through some hard times. And I don't get the sense as I read the words of the psalmist here when he is asking God to bless him and rescue him. I don't get the sense he's saying, rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. You better be my rock of refuge. That's not how he's saying it. It's a request. Now, knowing God and what God has done, he's confident that God will come through. In verse 20, it says, though if you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you'll restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up, and you will increase my honor and comfort me once again. How to give thanks? Remember, consider yourself blessed and not entitled. Ask and don't demand. And last but not least, especially in the area of giving thanks, declare, speak. A southern expression that is, I guess, still common down south. You go to a family reunion, maybe some of you saw people this week maybe that you haven't seen in a long time, and maybe you see that uncle that you haven't seen for a couple of years, or that aunt who looks at you and says, I declare, last time I saw you, you weren't any taller than this, and now you're up this tall. I declare. Well, that's what the psalmist is doing. I want you to notice here in Psalm 71 how many times and the different ways that he talks about saying something. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness. I will come and do what? Proclaim your mighty acts. I will proclaim your righteousness. Verse 17, to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, don't forsake me, God. Till I declare your praises to the next generation. Speak up. Declare. Share. When we sing, sing with all your heart to God, because he's worthy. But there's also what we do in sharing with others. We've been blessed through the years to have individuals in our congregation just share their own perspective of how God has worked in their lives, how they're blessed. And so the psalmist talks about being old and gray. We have Jean Payne. Wait a minute. Old? No, I wouldn't say. He's a middle-aged, right?
Younger than me.
But he does have some gray. And Tom Mangus, would you call yourself old and gray, Tom? All right. But y'all have learned something, and you've seen things. And it's so important that we do what the psalmist says here, that we declare his greatness and his deeds to others. And so in that spirit, I look forward to what Gene has to share with us this morning, and Tom will follow. Thank you, too.
I heard something this morning during Nick's communion I've never heard before, and that was that somebody actually was looking forward to watching the Detroit Lions football team. I was shocked. I thought that was always where you had lunch and just ate through that, right? I thought about this idea of what I'm most thankful for. The first thing I realized was, now that I'm 47, that I think my most thankful thing has evolved over the years. It changes constantly. I used to be, oh, thank you for the job, or thank you for, you know, getting married, having a great wife, and all that stuff. And then I just noticed that it's changed. 2 weeks ago, my dad's last sibling passed. Ray Payne was 89 years old, and he never had any kids. And he lived a great life, this guy. He was married 62 years. I can't imagine being with, well, I could imagine that. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I can't imagine somebody being with me 62 years. That's what I meant to say, dear. But he was active in the community and active in his church and was all about his family. And I guess, even though I'm sad that he's gone, I was really happy to have known him. It's funny that looking back on my time with him, I moved away in 94, so I didn't see him that often. But he was really influential in my life. Here's a man that, when his brother died, my dad died, he was the first one to come and comfort the family. 4 weeks later, when my mom passed, he was the one that came and picked me up from work because I was a complete wreck. He helped us out when we were having some financial problems, took care of his nephew. This guy cared about people. And I started thinking about that the last couple weeks about, you know, how blessed I was that God stuck him in my life when he did. You ever notice that about people? You never realize God puts people in your life till after it's already been done. You know what I mean? You ever had that time where you've gone through some trial? You've gone through some, maybe a death, or you got fired or whatever. And when it's all done, you realize, man, that so-and-so helped me, or so-and-so was really influential in my life. See, that was all God. I am convinced that God puts people in our lives for a reason, strategic reasons when we need them. And I don't think I've really appreciated that very much until recently. So what am I most thankful for now? I'm just thankful for a God that puts people in our lives to help us on this life. I really don't know how people can survive life alone. I don't know how that's possible. So I want you all to think about your lives. Some of y'all are different ages, really old, really young. But think about, in your lifespan, all the people that have been strategically put in your life by God. Could be your parents, could be siblings, could be a teacher, could be a minister or elders, could be just a good friend or a coworker. I am most thankful that God knows what we need and puts people in that position to help us here on earth. It's a great thing. I'm also, the second thing I'm most thankful for is his biggest gift to us, of course, was Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but my life would be completely different if it wasn't for Christ. And yet again, he put somebody in my life that is there to help us and make a difference. Thank God for that.